for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Saturday evening service of July the 6th, 1996, of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Chuck Wirth is the speaker for the evening.
Well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Are you all ready for six more gates? I just say that I love to come to Lake Hamilton. You know why I love to come to Lake Hamilton? No? Well, yeah, fishing. That's good. That's good, but it's a different kind of fishing. Because of you. People hungry for the Word. People hungry for the Word. That's a teacher's, the desire of his heart is for someone that wants to listen to him. And you all seem so eager, and you sit at the edges of your chairs, and then you come up after I finish and say, what did you say? No. But I love to come here because of the... See, the Bible says, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. It's a promise. If you're hungry, I don't care where you live, how far you are from a church, God's going to do something to get you filled. He might even move you. Or He might move somebody. I don't know. That's up to Him. Amen. Amen. Father, I just thank You for the privilege of speaking Your Word. Father, I thank You for the desire You have put in my heart.
Yes.
When my flesh was so opposed to anything that even sounded familiar to what I'm doing. But Father, I thank You.
Hallelujah.
That in spite of ourselves, You do a work.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, I just thank You that You'll bless the Word, that You'll anoint the Word. Because, Father, the Spirit of the Almighty God is the teacher that's in the place. And, Father, I just ask You to bless this people in Jesus' name. Amen.
You do not have a proclaim.
I do not. Oh, so I'm using these.
Right.
Okay. Do you want me to shut this off then? I'm getting a little feedback here.
Kill it.
That's
home again.
That's okay. I didn't move near as much. Can you all hear me okay? Yeah, he'll get that. If you'd open your Bibles to Matthew 13, please. And this is just for you. How many of you know that sometimes when you hear a thing for the first time, your mind wants to say, the natural mind wants to say, well, I don't understand that. But how many of you know that the spiritual mind absolutely wants to understand the things of the Spirit. Okay? And it'll do everything it can to cause you to understand. And Matthew 13, I just want to go to... This talks about not being able to see or hear because of a hard heart. But there are not any hard hearts here tonight. So I just want to go to verse 16. And I'd like us to read just verse 16 together. But when it comes to your eyes or your ears, would you just say my ears with me? Can we do that together? Blessed are my eyes, for they see, and blessed ears, for they hear. Now see, when you speak that your eyes and your ears are blessed because they hear, do you know what that sets? That sets a spiritual force in motion that God has to deal with. And so He's going to bring revelation to you of His spiritual word. Okay, turn with me to Revelation 21, and we're gonna get right into this. I'm just gonna say a few things, and I'm gonna review the first six gates very briefly. We're not gonna turn to any other scripture or anything. I guess we kind of did already in the song. Revelation 21, and I'm just gonna read verse 2 and 3 again. And I, John, saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. Notice it's out of heaven. She's prepared as a bride and she's adorned for her husband. And it goes on to say, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." Now, the New Jerusalem, the holy city, do y'all know who that is? Do you know who the Bible says that is? Turn to Hebrews chapter 12, and let's let the Bible interpret the Bible, okay?
We're the living stones that makes up the temple.
Absolutely. That's in Peter. Living stones, lively stones, a peculiar people, a holy nation, right? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 20. I'm just going to start with verse 22 and read 22 and 23. And this will tell you who it is. It says, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels." And there's just a comma, so it goes right on to verse 23. Messengers. That's exactly what that is. "To the general assembly and church of the firstborn." That's the first fruits. The first fruits. How many of you know that everybody's going to... Do you all know that you're going to be... Not everybody's going to be birthed at the same time? Every man in his own order. I could take you into Isaiah 66. I'm not going to. But it's a good chapter to read because it parallels with Revelation 21. And in Isaiah 66... It talks about who can believe such a thing, that a man-child is birthed into the earth. Can a nation be birthed at once? But then it goes on, and that nation is the Judah company, or whatever you want to call it, the overcomer, the man-child. But then it goes on to say, will God close the womb? No, he will not, because there'll still be births coming forth from that man-child. Because the woman which is the church, there's a place prepared for her in the wilderness where the man-child is going to feed her for, the Bible calls it time, times, and a half time. And I don't know how long that is. I can tell you what some people say, but I don't know. But it's going to be for a period of time where the overcomer, those that have the spirits of just men made perfect, are going to nourish her for a period of time to bring her up to the level that she should have been already, okay? But I want to read verse 23 again. It's to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. The spirits of just men made perfect. Now, only God can do that. Only God can do that. But do you know you have a part in that? You have a part in that, because it says that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And if you're not going to diligently seek him, you're going to have a different reward than others. I mean, you know that in heaven, you're going to be given a body as you have pleased God. Do you know that? Do you know the Bible says that? That you're going to be... You're looking at me like you don't see that. Let me just find where that is. I believe it's in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I believe it is. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. And this is just a little sidelight, and I'm not going to be there very long, okay? Because I do want to get the other six gates in. Now, I'm just going to start in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 34. I'm going to start with verse 34. And it says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not." I mean, you know, everybody needs to awake to that statement. "Some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." Now, you know what shame is? Shame is nakedness. It means that you have not been clothed with the righteousness of God. And you weren't clothed with the righteousness of God because you didn't have knowledge of God. The knowledge of God brings clothing to you. He's going to clothe you with his righteousness. It says in Philippians, the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ. See, I've been taught all my life that everybody's going to get the same thing regardless of what you do. Brother, that's a lie, and that'll be outside the city if you listen to that. Okay. I want to go on. Verse 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. Now, if you'll not be made alive unless you first die.
Yes.
Now, I'm not talking about a natural death. Romans 12:1 says to make your body a living sacrifice. Sacrifice speaks of death, but this is a death while still alive.
Yes.
And it's a death to self. It's a death to the two. Well, really, it's a death to the one in the throne, so the other one can be seated on the throne. And right now, there are two men in the throne of your heart or your mind. And one is the carnal man, the humanness of man. And the other is the seed of Jesus Christ, who's vying to take the throne. And we won't allow him to, because it's what I think and what I want and what I believe and that sort of thing. Do we understand that? Remember in 2 Thessalonians, there's one seated on the throne as God, saying he is God. That's you. Okay? And that's God wanting you to step down off your throne so he can be seated in the throne. Now, a lot of people would say that's Satan, but Satan can only have access to you as you give him access. Because the Bible says the serpent's meat is dust, and we're such a dust-filled people that he's eating us alive. But if we get rid of the dust, the carnal nature of man, how many know that the carnal man is enmity, it's an enemy of God. And so we need to get him off the throne. Okay, too many sidetracks. Okay, verse 37, that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. And depending on what kind of grain you become depends on your resurrection. You could be wheat, you can be barley, you can be rye, and I don't know what all. Verse 38, but God giveth it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body. How do you please God? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, we're changed by grace, right? God's grace is what changes us. Ephesians 4:7 says, grace to every man according to the gift of Christ. It's how much of Christ you receive, that's how much grace you get. How many of you know that not all of us have the same amount of grace? How many of you know that the same amount of grace is available to every person? But it's grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, how do you get this grace? 1 Corinthians 4:5. It says, verse 4, we have access to this grace by faith. I mean, this just keeps, and it's going to come right back down to you, okay? Access to this grace by faith. Okay, how do I get faith? Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it comes down on how much of the word you hear and how much time you spend in the word. Because as you, how many of you know he is the word? Now, I don't mean this book. Jesus said, the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. How many of you know Jesus is spirit and life? And so, amen. You say, if I don't know him, you're not spending enough time with him. Because if you spend enough time with him, you'll get to know him. And as you get to know him, your faith will increase. As your faith increases, your access to grace increases. And as your grace increases, you're expanded into the kingdom of heaven. And that's really how it works. Okay. How'd I get on that? Hebrews. Where am I in Hebrews? Okay, I'm finished with Hebrews. Hebrews 12. The city is, really what I wanted you to see is the city is the spirits of just men made perfect. Okay? Well, let's go back to Revelation 21. Get into the gates. I want you to understand that the city is a people. If you don't get anything out of this other than that fact, the city is a people. And the city is descending out of heaven to the earth. Now let's just, for sake of reasoning, say that you're the earth. How many know you're the earth? You are the earth. You're the earth he's concerned about right now. Okay. So this earth, I must decrease, he must increase. Okay. As he increases within me, how many of you know that city in heaven descends? And it's a process. It descends line upon line, line upon line, precept upon precept, and precept upon precept. And it's going to descend until the day dawn and the day star arises in each of our heart. And that's how this whole thing is going to materialize. It's going to happen, I agree, it's going to happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, but it's going to happen in a moment to a people that have been preparing for a long time, and they have been adorned by the Father. Right? Do we understand that? Okay. Okay, the first gate, yeah, anybody remember what the first gate was?
Reuben.
And what did Reuben mean? Behold a son. Now listen, this is an experience in your life, it's the new birth. It means to be born again. And once you go through that gate, it doesn't mean you can quit going through that gate. Once you go through gate number one, that experience will stay with you until you become a son of God. And any time that experience leaves you, you leave the city. Gate two was what? Simeon. What does Simeon mean? He who hears. Now you can tell these people have been taught. It means hearing. It really means we can only hear by the Spirit what the Spirit has to say. Okay? So Simeon means hearing. It's the second gate into the city. And these two gates are gifts. God gave His Son and He gave His Spirit. And they're free gifts. And I said the next 10 gates you must work for. Those two are free. You have to receive them by faith, and you need to grow in them. You know, just seeing behold the Son one time, you don't know a person that you've only beheld once. You know someone that you live with. And as a matter of fact, He desires, and you'll have to become married to Him. That means you're going to have to become intimate with Him. And there's going to be something that comes from your union with Him, and that is a birth of a son. Now, I hope it's you. I really hope it's me, too. Okay, Simeon, hearing. Now, Simeon is likened unto the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know why people don't accept the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And I'm just going to throw this in. This one's free, too. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 12. Psalms chapter 12, verse 1. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said, with our tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? And they're not going to allow another one to be Lord over their lips, not even the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're proud. And a proud man will never speak in tongues. Amen. Okay, the third gate, and I'm just going to go through these quickly. The third gate is Levi. It means to be joined. It's spiritual ministry. And it really is the purpose of the first two gates. The purpose of the new birth and the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so you can minister to others by the Spirit. And to do that, we said we got to be joined with God and joined with man. Genesis 49. I'm not, but that's where I'm supposed to be. These are taken from Genesis 49, and most of you know that, but anybody that's new here, Genesis 49 is a prophecy of Jacob over his 12 sons, and that's where we're going to be spending most of our time. This is just a review from last night, by the way. The fourth gate, or the fourth son, is Judah, and Judah means praise. Judah also happens to mean to cast out. We've been talking a lot about casting out in Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. And there's been a lot of casting out being done. And boy, that's worthy of praise. And it really comes from praise, okay? Okay, the next gate, the fifth gate, is Zebulon. It means to dwell. It really is a habitation of God by the Spirit. And we looked at that in Ephesians 2, that we're building a place of habitation in us of God by the Spirit. That's what it says. We want His Spirit to come and habitate with us. And I said that once He really comes to habitate with us, that's when it ceases from, I tend to cease from being selfish and carnal to being spiritual minded concerning others. Before that time, it's a, and all of these, it depends on you, where you are in these gates and how fast you go through the gates. Remember that each gate is an experience. And I'm not speaking of these gates as in the mind, well, let's see, I've got to minister by the Spirit to get today. That's not a nature. This must become a nature within us that absolutely I behold the Son wherever I am, whether I'm at work, whether I'm at home, whether I'm at play, the Son is uppermost in my mind. And the Spirit, we must always be led by the Spirit, because it says they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we must always be listening to the Spirit, and we must be slow to speak, quick to hear, right? And spiritual ministry, it's just a nature. When somebody is hurting or somebody needs something, we minister to them things of the Spirit. Now, if they need natural things, certainly you minister that too. Okay. And then the last gate yesterday, gate number 6, was Issachar. It means reward, hire. It means you cannot be bought. And we also looked at the stones in these gates, and this stone happens to mean stamped gold. And in Issachar, once you can't be bought, there really is a sealing that takes place in your life, where you really are sealed by the Spirit, and God can really start to trust you and send you out into the things that He desires you to accomplish, okay? Now we're going to start tonight with Dan, and this will continue from last night's teaching. We quit at Issachar. Now again, I'm going to be teaching from Genesis 49, if you'll mark that, and Deuteronomy 33. I'll be flipping back and forth. One is the prophecies by Jacob, and the other is the prophecies of Moses concerning these tribes. And Dan means to judge. And these are taken, what they mean is taken from Genesis 29 and Genesis 30, and you can find them in those two chapters, and it'll tell you that Dan means judge. It also means to plead the cause, to govern, to umpire, to minister. It means to make a decision. I mean, you know, every time you make a decision, you're judging. And I said it's bad judgment not to judge. Bad judgment not to judge. Okay. That's what I said last night. Okay, turn with me. We're going to look at Dan. Turn with me to Matthew 7. And we're going to look at a lot of famous scriptures concerning judging. And this is probably one of the most famous. How many times have you been told this? Judge not that ye be not judged. I mean, no, that's true. If you don't judge, you won't be judged. Because with what judgment you judge, you're going to be judged. Now, if you judge with unrighteous judgment, you're going to be judged with unrighteous judgment. But if you judge with righteous judgment, you're going to be judged with righteous judgment. So what it's saying is, and then we'll look at some other scriptures. You can't take just one scripture and pull it out of and get a complete meaning out of it. Verse 2, with what judgment ye judge, and with what measure ye met, it shall be measured to you again. And then it goes on to say, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? The mote really could be better rendered a speck of dust in your brother's eye. I mean, you know, we all have some dust in us. Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know that the eye is the sight. The eye is the sight of the mind and the soul. And this beam, it really could be rendered a roof joist of your mind, which really is saying, hey, you who are so soulish, you got this roof joist holding your mind up. It's a piece of wood. And Wood speaks of the carnal mind. And this guy's just got a speck of dust, and you're judging him. And it says, don't do that. Okay. Do you understand that? Okay. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye. Now listen to this. Cast out the beam, and then shalt thou see clearly to do what? To cast out the mote or the speck in his eye. Now listen, if I got a speck of dust in my eye, I would certainly like to have someone without a speck of dust come and take it out. Okay? How many of you know that you learn from those that know more than you do? And that's really all that is saying. If you want to know something about a prophet, I tell you, go sit under a prophet. You know why? Because the Bible says you'll get a prophet's reward. You know what a prophet's reward is? What he knows. If you want a righteous man, if you want the reward of a righteous man, you know what you need to do? Find a righteous man and sit under a righteous man. You know what you'll get? The reward of a righteous man. You know the Bible says that about both of those?
Yeah.
And that's all they're saying here. Okay, now I want to look at 1 Corinthians 11:31. And I'm only going to read this verse because I tend to talk too much when I read more than one verse. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. You know what that means? If you discern something wrong in yourself, repent. And if you repent, then you're no longer in error. So then there's no judgment if you're right. You're going to judge tonight what I speak. And in these gates are experiences for your life. And I have a responsibility to tell you what God tells me. Once I speak what He tells me, I no longer have the responsibility. You know where it goes? To you. Now, if I don't speak what God tells me, guess who's responsible for what you don't know? I am. Okay, let's go on here. Okay, John 7:24. Turn to John chapter 7, verse 24. And this is Jesus speaking Himself. And He's pretty good authority. He's good enough for me, okay? And I'm not going into what He's talking about here. It really doesn't matter because you can apply it to whatever it is you have to make a decision about. And Jesus says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Judge righteous judgment. How many of you know righteous judgment is not a judgment of condemnation? A lot of Christians judge in condemnation. How many of you know that condemnation will not restore a person? We need to judge righteous judgment, and that judgment ought to be for restoration always. Restoration always. Now, if someone can't be restored, then there's other scriptures that'll take care of that person. And God, and the Bible tells you what to do with them. But the initial judgment should be always for restoration. That is righteous judgment. And I'm just going to tell you what righteous judgment, I thought, I need to give them an example. And Kyle used this today. It says, beloved, in 1 John chapter 3, I'm not going there. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not appear what we shall be. Now immediately, you can tell that before we even are close to becoming sons of God, the Bible says, now are we the sons of God. That's righteous judgment. How many of you know you all are sons of God in God's eyes? It doth not appear what we shall be, but when we see Him as He is, we'll what? Be like Him. Now, how do you see Him as He is? You need to look at Him, fellowship with Him, and get to know Him. And to do that, you must spend time with Him. And I don't mean 5 days, 10 days at a Bible camp, although that's good. That's better than most do. But I mean, how many know the Bible says, give us this day our, what kind of bread?
Daily
bread. Now, if you spend 4, 5, 6, 7 hours a day studying and getting to know him, and you don't spend one day with him, he'll accept that, okay? But most of us, our daily bread is like 5 or 10 minutes, if that much, if we have daily bread. Okay, turn with me to Genesis 49, and we'll get out of Dan. Verse 16, Genesis 49, Dan shall judge his people as the head of all the tribes, right? That's not what it says. As one of the tribes. You're not a lord over anyone. Okay? Your whole purpose in judging is righteous judgment to restore the tribe of Israel. Righteous judgment. Okay? Then turn with me to Deuteronomy 33. And I'm going to start with verse 22. And of Dan, he said, Dan is a lion's whelp. A lion speaks of kingship, royalty, okay? But Dan is just, he's very small. He's very small. Just a whelp. He shall leap from Bashan. Now, leap means to spring forth, and Bashan means fruitfulness. If you judge correctly, if you judge righteous judgment, you're going to be a spring of living water bringing forth fruit in your judging of Israel. And that's what God desires of you, right? Okay, the stone in Dan is a beryl, B-R-Y-L. And the Hebrew word is Tarshish. I just threw that in there because I found it. I thought Tarshish, that's where Jonah was fleeing to get away from the judgment of the Lord. And guess what he got? Judgment. And I just found that interesting. The beryl, it means to break, to subdue. It also means to polish. To polish. How many of you know judgment will polish you? Turn with me to Psalms chapter 2, verse 10. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. I mean, no, that's talking about you. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. Verse 1. Dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unjust and not before saints? Christians do it all the time. They go before ungodly lawyers and ungodly judges and then cry when they don't get what they thought they wanted. Do ye not know the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? That's judgment, folks. How many know that the Bible says judgment will begin in the house of God? And it started already. Okay. Let's go on. The next tribe is Gad. And that's found in Genesis 30:11 for you that are taking notes. Gad. Gad means a troop cometh. A troop cometh. How many of you know there's a troop coming forth out of the church? And whether you believe it or I believe it, a troop is coming forth out of the church. And seeing as how God said it is, I'd like to be one of the troops. It also means good fortune. It means multiple births. That's why the overcomer or the man-child is a corporate body of Christ because of multiple births. It means to overcome, to assembly. And this Gad troop is really, he's the overcomer of Revelation 2 and 3, which is the seven churches of Revelation. To he that overcometh will I grant, and there's many things that are granted to you, and it's a wonderful teaching. I might do it here sometime. And it's many names is the man-child of Revelation 12. It's the Judah company, it's the Benjamin company, it's the first fruits company of Revelation 14. Sometimes it's called the elect, it's the army of Joel chapter 2, and it's the battle axe and Jeremiah's battle axe and what weapons of war. And I'm not sure what book in what chapter in Jeremiah that is. But they're all the same people described by different prophets. Okay? So let's look at Gad in Genesis 49. Gad. Oh, I didn't do all of Dan. Wait a minute. I missed some. Go to Genesis 49. I'm going to finish up Gad. He's down there twice and I missed it. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. We covered that, remember? And it says, Dan shall be a serpent by the way. Now, how many of you know that Jesus and the devil are both a serpent? You all understand that? It talks about it. The serpent on a pole. Do you all know that? Huh? Moses lifted up the serpent. That where anybody that the serpent bit did not die. Okay? And then they take it on over into the New Testament. Well, just let me give you a scripture for that. I don't know if I got that down or not. Beg pardon? Two of them? Well, the first place in the Old Testament is Numbers 21, verse 7. Numbers 21, verse 7. And turn with me to Romans 16. Let's do this real quick. Romans 16, if this is correct. No, that's not what I want. Turn with me to John. Let's try John chapter 3. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. And it says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And what that's using, it's using the type of Moses lifting up the fiery serpent back in Numbers 21. Jesus is a type of that, that was a type of Jesus, okay? That's all that's saying there. Okay, as a serpent by the way, but Dan can be an adder in the path. An adder is an asp, either one is a type of the serpent. A type of the serpent. He biteth the horse's heels. Heels means faults. We're to bruise the devil under our feet, right? So that the rider will fall backwards. And it means to crush. But then it goes on to say, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. And really what that prophecy tells me is that be careful how you judge. You can judge unrighteous judgment and cause people really to lose their salvation or to turn away from the things of the Lord. If you're a person that condemns them because we want to build them up. How many know without the mercy of the Lord would have all been destroyed? So be careful how you judge. But you need to judge sin. Judge sin. Okay, and I want to do Gad. Verse 19, while we're there in Genesis 49. Gad, it says, Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. And how many of you have been overcome a time or two? But, you know, that doesn't matter. You will overcome in the end. And then let's go to Deuteronomy 33, verse 20. Boy, you really need to get this prophecy in Deuteronomy 33:20 about Gad. This is about the body of Christ. This is about the overcomer, okay? And of Gad he said, blessed be he that enlargeth Gad. If you become a person that enlargeth Gad, you're going to be blessed in all your deeds. If you understand that you're to be a part of the army of God, if you're to be a part that puts the serpent under your feet, right, you're going to be blessed. Anyone that enlargeth Gad. Because there is something in the Bible that says that the Lord will not return until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. But there is going to come a time when the fullness comes in, that God's army is complete. And those are the people that are blessed of God to the highest. Okay? He dwelleth as a lion. Again, that's power, that's rulership. Are you all with me? Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 20. He dwelleth as a lion, and teareth the arm with the crown of the head. Now, I'll just tell you that teareth has to do with Benjamin. Benjamin is as a wolf. We'll get to Benjamin. He's the last gate. But Benjamin is going to tear things up. How many of you know that Jesus went into the temple and tore some things up? And he didn't say, "May I come in, please?" He just went in and tore them up. And that's going to happen. But it's going to happen into the dwelling place of God's people. It's going to tear those things out of them, those traditions of man, okay? And he provided the first part. This is the first fruits. Gad provides the first part for himself. I find this just amazing how all this just comes together. I guess I'm just amazed at God. I don't know. A first part for himself. Because there in a portion of the lawgiver was he seated. That means Gad is a part of the rulership. We understand that? That's the body of Christ that's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron in Revelation 2. That's the overcomer that's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. You all know that, right? Well, I heard one yes. Okay. Okay. And he came with the heads of the people. The heads of the people. Gad is ruling and reigning, and he's going to be as the King of Kings. Okay, because he's in rulership. Not that he is the King of Kings. That's not what I'm saying. But he's going to be the king over the kings of the earth. The natural kings. The heads of the people. He executed the justice of the Lord and his judgments with Israel. So this, you know, Dan is judgment. But Dan is... These people have gone through the gate of Dan to where now they're fit to judge. Because we've just completed the gate of judgment. And so now we don't, but we're supposed to now understand that once we've come through the gate. And so now we're becoming the army of God, the overcoming army, if you will. The bride of Christ. Maybe that sounds better. I need to say something you understand. The bride of Christ. Not all of the body of Christ is the bride. Okay. In the Song of Solomon, there are many different people in the kingdom of God. Many different people. I counted them one time. I don't know whether it's 11, 12, 13, 14. It have to be a good number, but there's many. There's virgins. There's a queens. There's a concubines. There's just all kinds of people. Okay. Yes, lots of. Okay. Did we finish Gad? I think we finished Gad. Okay, the stone of Gad is a diamond. The stone, you wonder why the stone of Gad would be a diamond? Turn with me to Jeremiah 17. Are you all getting anything out of this? Okay, okay. Sometimes I'm concerned that it's too much at one time. I just share with you, I've been teaching the 12 gates at home for... Oh, goodness. I don't know. Maybe a year. Maybe, I don't know. A long time. There's so much in it that I'm just giving just a little bitty overview of this, folks. Just to get you interested in the gates to where you'll get into them and learn about them. Study them. Okay. Jeremiah 17, verse 1. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. Now, you ever wonder why it's the sins of Judah? Because how many of you know that in God's eyes right now, everyone seated here is a first fruits of the tribe of Judah. First fruits of the tribe of Judah. I pray that you all are, but I doubt that you all are. Because you choose. You choose. It's up to you. So what's going to happen, this troop, as it goes out into the nations, and I don't want to get too deep, but there is a people that's going to marry Jesus Christ. They're the bride. They're going to marry Jesus Christ. They are what's called the Zion Company. Okay, this Zion Company, and we can go into Isaiah 62, and I'm not going to because I don't have time. But it talks about Zion, and then it talks about Jerusalem, and then it talks about Israel. And then it's saying to Jerusalem, thy son shall marry thee.
Yes.
And the purpose of a Judah company or a Zion company marrying Christ is so they can go back out from the most holy place, because there's still people in the outer court and in the holy place, and they're going to go out. And if you will, then they're going to marry them. And by marriage, I just mean they're going to become intimate with them to where they have the knowledge of the Lord. And that's all that means. It just means you're going to have the understanding of the Almighty when you marry Him. That's the purpose of marrying Him, is so you can be like Him, right? He does that. And then there's a people that are going to go out and minister to Jerusalem. And it says that in Isaiah 62. Read that. Take a note down and read that, okay? Okay, that's Gad. Oh, hurry up. Okay, the next gate is Asher. And that's taken from Genesis 30, verse 13. Asher means happy. It means joy. It means to be content. It means to be straight. How many of you know the woman? Remember I talked yesterday about the woman had to be straightened in Luke 13? Jesus was bent over. He says, How will I be straightened? I have a baptism to be baptized with. How will I be straightened? And then I went to the next, that was chapter 12, went to 13, where the woman was bent over. That's the body of Christ, the church. And she's not straight. She needs to be made straight. And this, the joy is what's going to straighten people up. How many of you know people that are bent over are not happy? It's true. It's true. How many know people that always look at the earth are not happy? Sometimes they think they are. But when you've gained all the wealth of the world, it doesn't satisfy, and you're not happy. Okay, it means to be level, it means to be honest, it means to prosper, it means to be blessed. Now you know why he's so happy, right? All those things. Let's go to Genesis 49. Asher, Genesis 49, verse 20. Out of Asher, that means he's a giver, he's giving out. It's going to flow out of him. His bread, and this means substance, there's a substance to the bread, shall be fat. It means it's got virtue. How many know virtue is a life-giving substance? How many know when you're around sad people, you become kind of like them? But if you go into a room full of a whole bunch of happy, laughing, joyous people, you know what happens to you? You become like them, happy and joy. And that substance is going to be given out. Out of Asher. Okay. And he shall yield royal dainties. That means he gives kingly food. Now, whether you know it or not, you're getting a lot of kingly food tonight. I hope you can eat it. I don't want to choke anyone. I'm serious. But there's a lot of food in these gates. And perhaps that's why we've taken so long at home to go over them, because there's so much there. Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy 33 for Asher, verse 24. Let Asher be blessed with children. What does Asher mean? Happy and joyous. Let me know, the joy of the Lord is my
strength.
Need a lot of children. You have a lot of strength. That's why the Bible talks about that a man should have his quiver full of them. That's really a spiritual meaning, but this tells you why right here. Okay. Let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. Your brethren are going to allow you to come out of prison. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Yes? No? And let him dip his foot in oil. He's going to be anointed. His walk is anointed. His shoes shall be iron and brass. That means there's strength in his judgment. It's a righteous judgment. There's a strength to it. It'll build people. Okay? And as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Yeah, you can put on that what you want. I'm looking to never die. Okay?
Amen.
Amen. Living forever. I mean, you know, some people think that's stupid to say that. I'm just going to go over here just quickly. Okay. Turn with me to Timothy. Oh, I said death and I shouldn't have. I just want to show you that wasn't a stupid statement. I don't know yet. I'm going to find it here in just a minute. 1 Timothy chapter 6. No, that's not what I want. 2 Timothy chapter 1. This reads better. I saw immortality back there and I jumped to it and I was wrong. I want to start up earlier. I'm just going to start at the top of my page. It's the middle of verse 8. I will start with verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Now, if you really get into the gospel, you'll have afflictions. You'll be booted out of several places you probably like to go, okay? According to the power of God who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, listen to verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath, what has he done? He has abolished death and hath brought life and what? Immortality to light through the gospel. You know why more preachers don't preach that? They haven't got into the word enough to understand what it's saying. That means what it says. Okay, let's go back to what we're doing here. Okay, the stone is an onyx. It means to blanch white. To blanch white. I mean, white is the righteousness of God. White is the garment that you're... It's the righteousness of the saints, it says in Revelation. White is the righteousness of saints. But it's God's righteousness covering them. Now, this blanch white really means to scald with boiling water. And I'm just going to throw this in real quick, and I don't know anything about this, but I'm just going to tell you what I was told. It's about taking a cucumber and making a pickle. And somebody told me that they dip it into scalding water and pull it out, and then they dip it into vinegar. And they say the state of that cucumber is changed forever. You cannot take a pickle and make a cucumber back out of it. And that's what this means in Asher. Because once you've got this change, folks, you're changed. How many know right now we can kind of go in and out of the change? Now don't, but we can. We choose, right? Boy, I want to be dipped so I don't have to worry about going back in and out of things, that I'm just permanently, permanently immortal would be nice. Okay. Let's go on to Naphtali. That's the next gate. Genesis 30, verse 8. It means wrestling. It means to entwine, to obtain by travail. It means to overcome to the death. This wrestling match is to the death. And you're going to die one way or the other. Okay? You're going to either resist it and death is going to get you, or you're going to give in to the wrestling and you're going to die to self and God is going to get you. And I can tell you which is the easiest and which is the best. Okay? It's not a hard decision. Now there is a wrestling that most of the church is doing. Turn with me to Peter. And don't ask me which one yet. 2 Peter, okay? I can get the book, but when there's two of them, I got to look at it. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. This is a wrestling match you don't want. It says, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to be understood. And we know that there's things hard to be understood in the Scripture, which they that are unlearned and unstable, they rest or wrestle with, as they do also the other scriptures unto what? Their own destruction. So don't, when you see it in the Word, don't wrestle with it. Believe it and pray for revelation and God will give you light. Don't wrestle with it. If it's there, accept it. There's many things that I've seen that I don't understand that are up here and I'm waiting for the revelation of them. And it's not that I don't believe them, but how many of you know a man should not teach what has not been quickened within him? If it's been quickened within you, then teach it. If it hasn't been quickened, I couldn't do it because I wouldn't know what I was talking about. I'd be guessing, and that's, we got a lot of guessers. Okay. I want to go to, we know, I'm not going there, but Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality. That's a wrestling match we need to wrestle with. Okay, but I'm going to Genesis 32, and y'all, probably everybody here understands the wrestling match Jacob had. And so I'm not going to spend a lot of time. But boy, it's really good. Verse 24, Jacob was left alone, and every one of you is going to be left alone at some time in your life. And my brother right here, I was visiting with him this afternoon. Give me his name right here. Gene.
Right.
And he's had a few times he's been left alone, okay? And God will do that to you to get your attention to where he can really talk to you. You know, when you get desperate and alone is when God can deal with you. And it says, and there wrestled a man with him. You can discern that for yourself. I believe he wrestled with himself. I believe it was his carnal nature. Now, I know he saw God, okay? Many people think God wrestled with him. Maybe he did. But this says a man, there wrestled a man with him. And I believe that's the other guy that was in the throne that wasn't supposed to be there. And they wrestled to the breaking, and there has to come a breaking in you. Really, what needs to come is the breaking of the new day. The old carnal man gives way and says, well, these traditions, I'm going to give them up, and I'm going to believe what the Bible says. And anyway, Jacob got a name change, and God changed his name to Israel because he saw God face to face. That's when Jesus appeared to him. And when I see him as he is, I'll be like him. But how many of you know that he appeared to Jacob? Jacob had a new name, and Jacob did not walk in the change. And I don't know if I'll get to that, but I would like to. Okay, that's the wrestling match. Genesis 49, let's go there. Genesis 49, this is Naphtali, verse 21. Naphtali is a hind let loose, he giveth goodly words. Goodly words. A hind let loose. Jesus in the Psalms is called the hind of the morning. And a hind is sure-footed. He can walk over anything. Okay? And then I want to go to Deuteronomy. And this is Naphtali. Verse 23, Naphtali, he said, Naphtali satisfied with favor and full with the blessing of the Lord. Isn't that good? Full of the blessing of the Lord. Now, you know what it means to be full with the blessing of the Lord? It means you're with child. How many know God's only purpose for you is to produce an offspring? Now, this is a spiritual child. See, the natural mind is what do you say, you know? Listen, y'all better be pregnant. That seed better be getting ready to give birth. Because I believe that we're at the end of the sixth day. I'll just tell you, the Bible says first the natural, then the spiritual. God in the natural, on the sixth day in Genesis, at the end of the sixth day, he had a perfect man in the earth before he sinned. Okay. I believe it's at the end of the sixth day, and I believe God is going to put a perfect man in the earth at the end of the sixth day. Now, I don't believe God is exact. I believe that his times overlap. And I believe it may be a gradual type thing.
Amen.
But folks, we need to not be asleep. We need to be awake.
Amen.
There needs to be and I consider myself a watchman. And in the parable of Matthew 25, the 10 virgins, everybody talks about 5 with oil and 5 without. But I'll tell you, there was somebody who said, hey, it's midnight. The bridegroom is here.
Amen.
Go out and meet him. And I'm telling you right now as a watchman that the bridegroom is right at the door. Right at the door. Okay. Okay. Naphtali. Did we do him? 23. Full with the blessing of possess thou the west and the south. Now the west is the old order. The West is the old order. Turn with me to Hebrews 8, verse 13. Let's just... I mean, no, the old order is getting ready to fade away. Boy, a new order is on the horizon. I'm just going to go to verse... Oh, goodness sakes. See, this whole thing is really good. And it's hard for me to leave it alone. This is about covenant. Verse 10 talks about covenant. And it's a covenant he makes with a people. And covenant, the first place covenant is mentioned, it talks about circumcision. And so this is a people that have been circumcised of heart. And to be circumcised of heart, you must be circumcised of ear. The problem with God's people is they don't circumcise their ears to where they can hear. But this is talking about covenant. But in verse 13, he that saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. And the new covenant, where you need no man to teach you, for all will know me, is ready to come in the earth. Because he says, I'm going to put my law in your heart. I'm going to write it in your mind. I'm going to be to you a God, and you're going to be to me a people, and we're going to know him. And that knowing means to be intimate. It means to have relationship with it. Okay, that's the end of Naphtali. No, the stone is a jasper stone. And the jasper stone means to polish. Now, this wrestling match will really polish you. Ask anyone that's had a wrestling match with God if it polished them. I had a wrestling match with God on almost my 50th birthday. And it changed my life forever. Ever. If I hadn't had the wrestling match, I'd not be before you today. Okay, the last two gates. Boy, we're doing good. We got 10, 15 minutes yet. Okay, Joseph, turn with me to Genesis 30, 24. I want to look at this. Genesis 30, 24. And I'm not going to go into Joseph in any depth because it's I need to go from Genesis 37 through the end of the chapter and just teach it out of the book. There's just so much there. Genesis is a type of Jesus Christ. He's also a type of the body of Christ, the overcomer. Joseph.
Is that what I said?
Yeah. Oh, who? Genesis. No, Joseph. Okay, thank you, Phil. Okay, verse 24. Verse 22, let me back up. And God remembered Rachel. Now, Rachel means ewe. It means a sheep. It means to journey. Now, remember I told you that Jacob had his name changed and didn't journey. How many of you know you have already had a name change? You have already had a name change. You're just not walking in it. He says, beloved, now are they the sons of God. To be a son of God, you've got to have a new name. You can't be a son of God without a new name. He's going to put it in a white stone, didn't he say, in Revelation 2? Okay. So you have a new name and don't even know it. And if you don't know it, you can't walk in it. That's why you've got to know the promises of God. That's why you've got to keep coming to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. And Gwen will invite me back sometime. Okay. Rachel means to journey. It means a ewe, a sheep. God hearkened to her and opened her womb. The righteous women were always barren in the Bible. They were the last to give birth. The church of God, the Israel of God, the Jew is you, will be the last to give birth in this earth. All the rest of the churches are full of people. I mean, they got thousands of people. Yes. And look at us. With this message, this place, they ought to be hanging out of the windows and the ceilings trying to find out some truth. But we're barren. Yes. It's because God's got us in a prison house, and those with the big cathedrals wouldn't let me walk close to their pulpit. Right. It takes a man of God to allow truth into the church, because it tends to drive people out of the church. That's why I admire Brother Glenn so much. She conceived and bare a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. Now, Joseph means to add a son. But what it really means is, hey, there's going to be another son after me, Joseph. You understand that? Well, let's look at Joseph real quick because I want to get to Benjamin before I run out of time. Let's go to Genesis. Well, turn with me to Genesis 50, verse 20 real quick. That's right at Genesis 49 there. But I want to tell you what it says about Joseph here. This is not the prophecy. But this is what Joseph said to his brothers after they stripped him of his kingly garment and put him in a pit to die and left him alone. And then when the famine came in the land, there was no word of God in the land, and everybody's starving to death spiritually, and all the sons come down into Egypt to get something to eat. And guess who the only person they could get anything to eat from was? Their brother. Now that's a truth in the church world. The church is going to have to come to those that they've expelled from their congregations to get something to eat.
Yes, yes. Hallelujah.
Now, I don't say that with any, like, boy, I want to get them. I just say, praise God, finally, they'll listen.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Joseph went and wept when his brothers returned. And verse 19, and Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, speaking to the brothers, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. And that's exactly what God is meaning it for right now. Don't fret about being in prison. You're only going to be in prison until the king calls for you. And when the king calls for you, you'll go forth. Okay? But God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, the purpose of Joseph, to save much people alive. That's a cry of my heart, is to save much people alive. Okay, back over to Genesis 49. Verse 22, and boy, there's a lot on Benjamin, I mean on Joseph, and I'm just going to go over it and comment briefly. Verse 22, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well. You're going to be a well of living water springing up. You're going to be, first there's water out of the belly, then there's water out of the temple in Ezekiel, and then there's water out of the throne in Revelation 22. Water out of the throne. The people seated on the throne are going to water the earth with the gospel, okay? A well whose branches run over the wall. How many know you're the branches? You're the branch, and the wall is salvation. You run up and all over that wall. Because why? Because you're bringing salvation to the people. The archers have sorely grieved. Now, the archers are ministries, and I've been grieved by many ministries, but that's okay. They shot at him and hated him. They have. They don't even know why. And his bow abode in strength. Bow means covenant. You abide in strength because you're in covenant with God. And the arm of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb, blessings of the Father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors, under the uttermost bound of the everlasting hills. There's a whole bunch of stuff in there. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Are you separate from your brethren? Okay. It's okay. You know why you're separate from your brethren? Because you're separated to God. And anytime you separate yourself, I didn't separate myself from my brethren. I didn't separate myself from my family. But when I separated myself unto God, I automatically became separated. And I won't come down here and teach the seven separations of Abraham, but I was separated from my kindred and I was separated from my country.
Yeah.
And it's okay. It's okay. It's with purpose, okay? Okay, and then let's go to Deuteronomy. See if... Is Joseph in here somewhere? 33 what? Okay, 13. Let's try 33:13. And of Joseph he said, blessed be the Lord of his land, of the precious things of heaven. Oh, I love the precious things of heaven. Oh, I love the precious things of heaven. I could just bawl tears when I think the precious things of heaven. Whew, for the dew and for the deep The only way you can have things deep, because deep calls to deep, and God is deep. That coucheth beneath, for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, that's Him. And for the precious things brought forth by the moon. Now the moon is, how many know the man child, as she's clothed with the sun, and she's got stars on her crown, on her head, and the moon is under her feet. The woman, yes. What'd I say? Man-child. Okay. Yeah. This is the woman that gives birth to the man-child, okay? And the moon is under her feet, and that's a church that has overcome darkness. But how many of you know there are secrets in the darkness? We got a book on that. Secrets of the darkness. And for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious, they're all precious, right? Precious things of the earth and the fullness thereof. You know, the most precious thing in the earth is the treasure in earthen vessels. That's God's precious things in the earth. How many of you know you're precious to God? Every one of you. I don't care what your gender, what your nationality, what your religion. He doesn't care. There is only one seed in the earth that belongs to God. And he said in Galatians, I speak not as seeds as of many, but I speak as seeds as of one, and that seed is Jesus Christ. And if you belong to that seed, you're precious to him. Now, I'll tell you, if you don't belong to that seed, look out. Because in the Old Testament, when he counted the generations of Abraham, he said, take thy son, thy only son. How many know Abraham had more than one son?
Yeah.
And then when he came here in Genesis 37 to Jacob, he says, these are the generations of Jacob. And guess where he started? With Joseph. With Joseph. 10 brothers, not even in the generation. Well, that ought to speak to your heart. It ought to say, oh God, I want to become yours. I don't want to be left out. I don't want to be left out. Okay. And for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush, for the blessing come upon the head of Joseph and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brother. His glory is like the firstling of his flock. There's the first fruits. And how many know that Jesus is the first fruit?
Yes.
Okay. His glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth, and they are the 10,000s. Now the 10,000s of Ephraim and the thousands of Manasseh, and I want to cover this. There's many here that have had deliverance, and there are things in your past. I'm just going to tell you that Joseph had two sons. One was Manasseh. Manasseh means to forget. And if you're of the tribe of Joseph, God will cause you to forget those things that are behind. Because behold, all things are new. So Manasseh means to forget those things that are behind, have been forgiven. They're not even there. God doesn't even see them. But Ephraim means doubly fruitful. And because you can forget the things of the past, you'll go on and be a doubly fruitful in the kingdom of God. Boy, that's a good word if you just receive it. Okay, now I want to go quickly back to Genesis to Rachel. Rachel. Somebody help me with that. The birth of Benjamin, that's what I want. Okay, turn with me to Genesis 35 real quick, because I'm running out of tape. Benjamin means son of my right hand. And I'm just going to close with this right here, and there's much about Benjamin, there's much about all of this, but goodness sakes, hour and a half is as long as we can go. Again, in verse 10 here in 35, and God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. Okay? But then you come over to here in verse 16, and they journeyed from Bethel. Bethel means the house of God. They journeyed from the house of God, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. Ephrath means fruitfulness. If you're in the house of God, you're just but a short ways to becoming a fruitful person in the kingdom of God. It's a short ways, but you got to get in the house of God. And there are many houses in the earth that are not the house of God, and you need to get out of them. I'll leave that up to the Spirit in you, okay? And Rachel travailed. Rachel travailed. And she had hard labor. Church, you're going to have hard labor to give birth. Because this is the church of grace. Rachel is the church of grace. Remember that. And it came to pass when she was in hard labor. Now here's a prophecy to her from a midwife. And we need more midwives in the church. And the midwife said unto her, "Fear not, thou shalt have this son also." I prophesy to you, church, we're going to have this son also. It will be birth because it's in the Word of God, and everything in the Word of God comes to pass. And it came to pass, verse 18, as her soul was in departing. Her soul was in departing.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to tell you that Rachel was the thing that Jacob loved the most.
Yes.
She was his soul. That's my soul. Okay. And when her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benjamin. Now, church, before you're going to give birth to the overcomer, your soul has to die. And if we're running around as a bunch of soulless people in the church, and we're giving birth to nothing but wind. But if our soul will die, we'll give birth to something of the Spirit. Well, I hope you can hear me. And I'm not being critical. My God, it's the truth.
Amen.
Okay, and anyway, on down to verse 21 and I close. And guess what happened once Rachel died? Verse 21, and Israel journeyed. He walked in the change. Once the soulishness of the church dies, the overcomer will walk in the change.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Bless you all.
Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.